You all enjoy that fellowship, don't you? It's hard to get y'all back sometimes. We've been teaching on being a servant, being a slave, giving our life to God, what it means to be a servant of the Lord, what it means to make sure that you see him as Lord. He is Lord. He is not just God. He's Lord God. And you have to love him, as scriptures say, you love the Lord, Lord your God, with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your strength and all of your mind. And you have to love your neighbor as yourself. But none of this happens without you deciding to make him Lord of your life. There can't be two lords of your life. You can't have God, Christ, the Spirit as Lord, and then you try to be Lord. Our challenge is not conforming to the world. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse number 1, the Roman writer Paul says, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by God's mercies, that you present, you make a presentation of your body as a living sacrifice. To present your body as a living sacrifice means that there is no time in your life that you are not aware of him as your being your Lord. There's no moment in your life that you don't recognize his lordship. To present your body as a living sacrifice, you have to be very intentional about the way you think about everything, the way you do everything, the way you conduct your affairs, because you cannot continually sacrifice yourself without keeping his lordship in mind. Because it doesn't always feel good to us when we submit to his lordship. And many times it requires us to deny ourselves. Self-denial, which is a spiritual trait, is one of the things that is necessary but difficult to maintain continuously without keeping his lordship right before you. So when those moments come, and they will, that your desire to take care of you, serve you, live for you, or your desire to allow the influence of the world to, because it serves you right now, it makes sense to you right now. When you're in that moment, it is only your desire to keep him as Lord that gives you the strength to deny you and do what the Lord says for you to do. Those moments, those very moments in nanoseconds, those decisions that are being made quickly require a conditioning of our heart to where over time, if you have been practicing learning to allow his lordship to lead, then it's like you're almost able to hear the voice of the Spirit as he's beckoning you, give in. As he's beckoning you, don't move. As he's beckoning you, stay quiet. And it's like, but there's a part of you saying, you need to speak up now. But the voice, when you get accustomed to hearing him, says, no, let that go. It is that process. And he says, you present yourself as a living sacrifice. That sacrifice should look like you are living a holy life. Holiness, God is holy, and we are to be holy like he is holy. But our holiness is not based on ourselves, nor our holiness based on what we do. Our holiness is tied to how we allow God, Christ, and the Spirit to be revealed in our lives. So our sacrificial life ought to look like holiness. And when other people observe us, they ought to be able to see holiness based on their understanding of God's description of what a child of life should be. And it ought to start mirroring what holiness looks like. Because this is acceptable to God, and it's our reasonable service. Next verse. And this is where I am. And be not conformed to this world. And I'm going to stop there. Conformity to the world is our greatest challenge today. It was a challenge then in the first century. It is really a challenge now because we have so many things that are influencing us. We're being influenced in ways we've never dreamed possible. There are so many ways that the worldly ideologies are influencing us today more so than ever before. And therefore, it takes more, in my mind, more discipline for us to keep the living sacrifice, the sacrificial living, living for God. And on last week, we talked about living but not loving from 1 John, the second chapter. We talked about love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world is a lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Not loving the world, this is a great task because we're in this world, but we are not to be of the world. We can't be out of the world now, and God leaves us in the world because we're the only, watch this, the church is the only influencer to the world, from the world to God. So we're in the world to influence the world to be like God. We're the only influencer that the world has. God left us in the world in order for us to influence the world to be like us. And yet, because we're bombarded with worldly ideas, worldly notions, worldly mindsets, worldly thoughts, worldly ideologies, if we're not careful, the church starts to conform, starts to think like, act like, respond to challenges like, deal with difficulties like the world. And it is this blending of the world into the church that becomes a great concern today. It is watching the world come right into the church that is a great concern today. And so this morning, I want us to talk about choices. Choices. We have choices that we have to make. Choices. I would assume that the fact that you are here today says that you have a desire to either know God, to show your love to God, to be a part of the worship of God, to be connected to the spirituality. Your presence today says something. All of the letters of the epistles were written in a fashion with the assumption that The hearer or the reader has a desire to be all that God would have us to be. The reader or the hearer has a desire to have their lives transformed. The reader or the hearer wants to be changed. Now, when I said the assumption is that the people that came today came for that purpose, I'm not naive enough to think that everybody that came here today came here because they want their life transformed. That's just not the case. There are a lot of reasons why individuals would find their way into the gathering of God's folk. Most of them, I would venture to say, have little to do with the desire of the individual to have their life changed. We tend to like the way we are. We tend to feel very comfortable with the way we are. And we think the way we are is, as we look around at others, it's okay. We're good. So then the decision or the choice to really make your life about imitating God and looking like Christ very rarely gets on our radar screen. We very rarely are thinking in those terms. We're thinking more in terms, in my opinion, of looking good. Going to church looks good. And people that make their way in there, they seem to be good people. And I want to be in the number of the good folk. I want to be counted as one of the good folk. And therefore, you know, I'm going to make that effort to be in the number. But in reality, our life may be so far from what good folk or Christian folk would be, but for the moment, we are able to have and live under the illusion that we are folk because we went to folk that come to church on a regular basis. And there is no difference that takes place in our lives. There's no real desire to do anything different in our lives. And the little agitation that we sometimes get through hearing about what the Word of God says versus where we know we are, we learn how to quickly get that out of our head and heart so that we can continue in the vein that we become accustomed to living. Am I describing anybody's life in here this morning? Okay. Get for me Joshua 24. Joshua 24 and verse number 14, I believe, is what I want. And as you get in there, what I want you to get today out of the message today is that you and I have to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to do just enough to look like a child of God, or whether we're going to give ourselves totally to being a child of God. Everybody with me? Okay. So if you get uncomfortable, then I did what I was supposed to do. Is it make you uncomfortable? Read.
And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel.
Verse 14. Give me just verse 14. That's too much preaching in there.
Now, therefore,
yeah,
fear the Lord.
All right. Listen. Now, he's getting to the point. You need to have, this is Joshua. For those of you who don't have a big Bible background, you know, God called Abraham. Abraham had a son that was promised when his wife was not able to have children. She finally had a child. Abraham had a son finally named Isaac in his later years. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. They became the 12 tribes of Israel. Those tribes were captured in the Egypt captivity. They stayed in Egypt captivity for 400 years. However, God had told Abraham before he had his son that your seed would go down to Egypt and you would stay in captivity. They would stay in captivity for 400 years, but I'm going to bring mighty hand, and I'm going to deal with Egypt. And now this nation has been brought out by Moses after 400 years. They have lived in the wilderness now for some 40 years, and now they are going into the promised land that God promised Abraham a long time ago. So Joshua now is the leader because Moses, who led them, has died. Everybody with me? That's the Cliff Note version, okay? All right. So Moses has died. Joshua now is talking to the people because God in the first chapter told them, you be courageous now. You're going to lead God's people. I was with Moses. I will be with you. You just stand with me. And now in this chapter, he says what? Now.
Therefore now.
Therefore now. Read.
Fear the Lord.
Now listen, there has to be a reverent respect for God. Our real respect for the awesomeness of God has dropped so low.
Well, come on, sir.
We don't reverence God as God in our lives.
Teach, sir.
We don't fear Him. We don't wonder, what is God thinking about my life?
Ooh.
How does God view me? Is He pleased with me? Well. Is the one that made me, the one that gave me life, the one that has given me opportunity to spend eternity with Him, is that God pleased with my life? It's no consideration. Now, therefore, you need to have reverence, fear for the Lord. Read.
And serve Him.
Now, wait. There's a service. Joshua's saying the service requires a personal commitment to how you view you and God. It's personal. And by the way, your level of service reflects how much you feel about that relationship. It reflects that. And serve Him how?
In sincerity. And
there is nothing about show when it comes to worship. It's not about show. There is nothing about, God is not impressed with how you look on the outside.
Come on, sir.
God is not impressed by how you sing.
Come on.
God is not impressed with how well you speak. God is impressed when He knows your heart is aligned with His. He's impressed when He knows you have pushed aside all of the distractions of this world and you are fixated and you are intentional and deliberate on making sure you are executing His will. He's impressed.
Well,
when He knows you are sacrificing yourself for Him, He's impressed with that. Because He knows you are sincere about what you're doing. You cannot do that without sincerity and truth. Read.
And put away the gods.
Read.
Which your father served on the other side of the flood.
And watch this. There were worshiping idols that was a part of the people. But I like to say It was worldly influence. See, it was the influence. They had been serving the one God for 40 years by themselves in a wilderness, in a tabernacle, as they were moving around in the wilderness, and they had no outside influence. It was all them. But just as soon as they got into that land that God promised, they saw what other people were doing.
Yes, yes.
And when you start looking at what other folk are doing, you start comparing it to what you do.
Make it plain, sir.
And so they had to be told. And Joshua's telling them, look, don't, you gotta put away the influence of what you see around you. Read.
And serve ye the Lord.
Yes. Next verse.
And if it seems
now watch
evil.
This. Watch this. Now, and Joshua posed it. If you think it evil, if you think it's wrong of you to be totally committed to God,
to serve the Lord,
if you think you're going to be looked upon harshly, if you totally commit to the Lord, if you think that's something bad for you to give up the worldliness, give up the worldly influence, and dedicate yourself to just serving the Lord, if you think you're going to be so boring to just give your life to the Lord, if you think folk going to think you so strange that you don't do and think and act like they do think and act, if you think it's evil, if you think you're going to miss out on something.
Something. Yeah.
If you think other folk going to get ahead because you are able to do like they do. If you think that they are getting ahead because they lie, cheat, and steal. If you think they are better off because they have stuff that you don't have.
Yes.
And you want what they have. And you're trying to figure out what it is you need to do to get what they have. And so your life is consumed with getting what they have.
Yeah.
If you think it evil to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
Choose you this.
You got a choice. That's where I wanted to get to.
Yes, sir.
See, you got a choice. We serve a God that tells us, I want to give you the best life possible. I want to give you not just the best life now, but I want to show you how to have life now and life eternal.
Well, sir.
And I'm willing. In fact, I'm so committed to this that I've done everything in my power to make it possible for you to have not just life, but life now and life ever, abundant life. And I sent my son, and he, because of his sacrifice as God in the flesh.
Yes, yes.
He is going to take all of your sins.
Oh.
All of the time.
Oh.
Every time.
Yes, sir.
He's going to take all of your sins.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to carry them so I can look at you in peace.
Mm-hmm. Amen, sir. Amen.
You see, so but this God said. But you may not want to live with me eternally. You may not want to give up what this world has to offer. You may not want to sacrifice yourself. And so I'm giving you a choice. You can do what I'm asking you and live forever.
Or you can choose to do what you want to do and die forever. But it's your choice. So choose ye this day
whom you will serve.
Who you going to serve? And let me put in parentheses, and how you're going to serve him. And how you're going to serve him. See, I don't think we have any problem with the who right now. I think it's the how.
Amen.
That's the question. We got the who.
Yeah.
I'm serving the God Almighty. We don't have no problem with that. Ain't nobody building no altar to the unknown God. We all are serving and believe we're serving the true and living God. It's not the who, it's the how. It's the how we're going to do it. It's the how I'm going to give my life to this God.
Yes.
So whether the gods which your father served, that were on where?
The other side of the flood.
Watch this. If you're going to allow yourself to maintain the same influence in your life, if the world and the worldly ideas are going to permeate in your life, if you are going to continue to defer back to, default back to what the world thinks, how the world reacts in your daily affairs, that's what you're going to do, and not put what God intends for you to be and do on the forefront of your spiritual program in your daily walk, then that means that you are going to let this world influence you. Everybody with me? So, but you have a choice. Everybody say you got a choice. And you do, you have a choice. Now, I want you to turn with me. That's all I need from there, brother. You know, choice. You got to choose. Everybody has to choose. Your mama can't choose for you.
Right. Teach, sir. Teach.
And your daddy can't make this choice for you.
Yeah.
Your husband can't make this choice for you. Mm-hmm. Your wife can't do this for you. Everybody has to choose. You got to choose. Go with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I want us to look at, starting at verse number 17. Wait a minute. Before we go there, give for me John, the third chapter. St. John 3. And after the story with Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, somewhere around verse number 15, start reading.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Oh, so before that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Keep reading.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Now watch this. Don't miss the point. God sent Jesus to do one thing, save the world. Keep reading.
He that believeth on him is not condemned.
Yeah, read.
But he that believeth not is condemned already.
Keep reading.
Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Read.
And this is the condemnation.
Oh, that's what I wanted. And this
is the condemnation.
And this, what verse is that?
19.
Verse 19, thank you. And this is what is going to condemn the world. This is what is this? This is the condemnation. Read.
That light is come into the world.
That light, verse 19, that light
hath come into
the world. Wait a minute. Jesus is the light of the world. He became the spiritual light. We are to let our light shine. The light that we get from him should shine through us that the world may see it. But this is what's going to condemn the world. The world is going to be condemned because light came into the world. The world was in darkness. and light revealed itself. And once light came, man could never say that I don't know how to see. You can never claim, I don't know how to see because light came. But that light is going to condemn some. Why? That light is come
into the world.
He came.
And men
and what?
Love darkness.
Watch this.
Rather Watch this. Than light.
Watch this. Light comes in.
Into the world.
And man sees light.
Mm-hmm.
And man says, I'd rather stay in the darkness than to gravitate to the light. Because, why?
Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds.
Because what?
Their deeds.
Listen. You can have a makeup in your life. Your makeup can be of such that you just are evil.
Teach.
And you love evil.
Amen.
More than you love light. Everybody said, wait a minute, I ain't evil. Okay, yeah. Listen. Evil described here means turning away from light.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you decide to turn from light, word, what the word says, and you take a different course of action than the word, you are rejecting light, because your deed are evil.
Evil.
Well, how you know it's evil? Because you rejected light. Everybody who loves light goes to light. Everybody who hates light goes from light. The reason why you go toward the light is because you love the light and you want what the light is offering. Everybody who rejects the light is moving to darkness because you love the darkness.
Because of their deeds.
Because you want to do something
that's evil.
That's inconsistent with light. Any time you do anything that is inconsistent with the light, you do it because
you hate the light.
You don't like light.
Neither.
But because your deed that you're doing
are evil.
Is evil. Wait a minute. Watch this. When you don't love your enemy, it's because you don't want light. And when you reject the light, your final analysis of the rejection is because I am doing evil. What is evil? I am not choosing to exert the effort necessary to love my enemy because I don't think they deserve
teach.
My love.
Teach.
For their deed against me. Therefore, it is unfair of a God, a deity, to ask me to love them when they did this. Now worldly influence steps in.
Well,
you do, if you don't feel like doing it, then do what you think is right. Choose ye this day
whom you will serve.
Who you gonna serve? Whether you're going to let light lead or whether you're going to let your deed be influenced by how it serves you.
That's good teaching.
So you do what you do that's contrary to the light because what you're wanting to do is evil. And anything that is done contrary to light is
evil.
Evil. Let me let you draw on that just a minute. You need to chew on that. I know. Everything and anything that is contrary to the teaching of the word and you choose to do it, it's because what you're doing is evil.
Yes. Yes.
This ain't no black lie. It's evil. I'm not making a, I'm just not slipping, it's just a slip up. No. Ain't no accident. You did that intentionally. You thought about it. You saw the option. You decided because it was evil. And you did it because you was rejecting the light. And this is going to be the condemnation. That light came into the world and men
love darkness.
Love the darkness.
Rather
than
the light.
Everybody with me? Okay, now go to Ephesians chapter 4. Is this helping anybody? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17. Let's start there. Ephesians 4, 17.
This I say, therefore,
read.
And testify in the Lord.
Yeah.
That ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles.
Now watch this. Now Paul is writing to a church located in Ephesus. This church is comprised of people who have come out of darkness, the world, and they've accepted the teaching of Christ. They've been born again. They've been baptized. We have an example of that because we find that in the book of Acts, where the church was being formed. And they were baptized into the body of Christ. He is writing to them to remind them how they ought to live now that they have come into the light. That you henceforth walk
not as other
Gentiles. Not as other Gentiles.
Gentiles walk.
In other words, don't live like the world you came out of. Don't live like the world. Don't conduct business like the world you came out of. Don't respond world you came out of. Remember, you was called to not conform. Read.
Not walk as other Gentiles.
Read.
In the vanity of their mind.
Read.
Having the understanding.
Now watch this. Watch this. The thing with the world that we tend to slip into if we're not careful is to have your understanding
darkened.
Tainted, darkened. Understanding of what? Your understanding of God's will for your personal life. God's will for you, everybody, is to live according to His will and word, period. Without exception, with no additions, to surrender your life to Him. Now that means that you gotta give up some stuff if you live like this. You gotta do without some stuff. You gotta put away some stuff. Okay? So he's writing to them, to the church, and saying, don't you continue to walk like the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of mind. Keep reading. But what? Verse 18.
Having the understanding darkened.
When you get a darkening of your understanding, that means that you are considering another option of decisions to your life other than what the word says. In other words, you're looking at the choices. You're looking at the choices. Okay, I'm in this circumstance and God says, ought to do this. It just don't feel right. It just don't feel right for me to do this. In fact, I don't know anybody who's ever done this in this circumstance. Now, I know some people that have done some other things in this circumstance, and, you know, they came out all right. Looks like they did it. So, I think, now I love God, but I think that in this circumstance, in this situation, I think it'll be all right if I do this. Verse 18. So your understanding has become
darkened.
Now watch this. Being what?
Alienated
from what?
The life of God.
Uh-huh.
Through the ignorance that is in them.
Now he's describing folk that don't really know God, but that becomes the description of the folk that drift back from God to the world. Because you are alienating yourself from God's will for your life, and you're doing it through ignorance. Because somehow you think doing it some other way is going to work out best for you. When can a man choose to disregard God and it be actually better for him? In what circumstance? In what situation? But why have we convinced ourselves so easily that somehow or another we can make this thing work? Doing it another way.
Through ignorance.
Through ignorance. Through the ignorance that's in them because of what?
Because of the blindness of their heart.
Next verse, read.
Who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness.
Now, when you get to the point to where you say, but I think I'm going to live this way and I know this ain't right, you know, there are a whole lot of people that come to church that make conscious decisions to do what they know is wrong, and they come to church with some looking for some absolution of their life because they know what they're doing is wrong. Now, they haven't made up their mind that they ain't gonna do it no more. They haven't decided they're not gonna do it anymore, but they need to ease their conscience. And it eases their conscience to come in, show up with the saints. And in the moment, you feel good. To work all uncleanness with greediness. Read, next verse.
But ye have not so learned Christ.
Now watch this. Church, that's not what the light of the Lord has taught or is about. This is not just getting a better version of you. See, I just want a better version of me. I'm all right. I just need a better version of me. Christianity is not making a better version of you. It's about transforming you into the version of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's about you losing you and becoming Christ. Not that you keep you and take on a couple of traits of Christ.
Teach, sir.
That you lose you in order to look like Christ. Read.
If so be that you have heard him.
Now, if you've ever heard.
And have been taught by him.
If you've ever heard anything
as the
from
truth
him,
is in him.
And you understand the truth. Read.
That you put off.
Now, watch this.
Concerning.
Now, here's the choice. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the choice. See, you and I have the right before God with free will to decide whether or not there's parts of our old life that are worth keeping.
Make it plain.
You know, there's got to be something of my old self that's worth hanging on to. So, as I filter through, you know, my anger in this area. You know, I need to keep a little anger because folk tend to run over you every now and then. And I need to keep them in their place. So I need to keep a little of that. So whenever you get in the bad place, I know how to get you off. Yeah, where I get that from, that was my old self. I needed to keep some of that. You didn't create that after you came into the church.
Jeez, Brother White.
You already had it. You just put it on backlog. And you pull it up when it's necessary. Because you ain't never got rid of it.
Jeez, sir.
It was just in the closet. But you knew how to pull it. Let me go off. Okay. That you put off
concerning the former conversation.
You got to learn. It's a choice.
The old man.
You have to decide that you are no longer going to allow the old way of thinking to rule your life.
Put it off.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Can't do it in a day.
Amen.
Right.
I'm be honest with you. This ain't no. You will not put off the old man today. Now you can put on the new man, but you ain't gonna take everything out of your life today. Cause you've been living for umpteen years with this,
and that's you.
And you've learned how to do this over a long time.
Yes.
And up until now, you felt like it's okay. I mean, I'm existing. I'm doing pretty good. You know, making a living like this. I got somebody in my life like this. I'm able to do this and that with it. It's working for me. Okay. Now, you are required to get rid of the stuff in your life that doesn't look like Christ. And that is going to take intentional, deliberate time. Time. How much time? Enough time for you to learn to surrender your will. It's your will. God wants your will. He wants you to will yourself to do His will. And He's going to give you some help. He knows you need help. I need help. So it's not going to be your own strength that does. But His strength can't help you till you make the choice.
Amen.
To give your will. So you got to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. This man is what? Corrupt.
Corrupt. According to the deceitful lust.
We have some, everybody has some stuff in them that just ain't no good.
Well, sir.
It ain't no good.
Well.
Once you have known sin, you never lose your knowledge of sin.
Never.
You know, just because you've been walking in the light 10 years, you still know how to lie. You don't lose your knowledge of sin.
Jeez.
But you grow to the point, you should, to where your choice is, even though I know this, I choose this. Even though I know how to do this, I choose this. And the child of God who is not aware of the spiritual choices that they must make on a daily basis is doomed to spiritual ruin.
Amen. Amen.
Because you're not even paying attention. You don't even realize when you are choosing to do what the world does. When you go back to your old man, you don't even see it. It's so fresh to you. It's such a part of you that it doesn't even bother you. You flip that way and you come over like ain't nothing happened. Something happened.
Yes.
You were exposed.
Yes.
For what you have not put away. And you hoped it covered over real quick so nobody paid attention. That's what your hope is. Don't nobody pay attention to that. I know that came out, but don't pay attention to it, because we keep it locked away. Keep reading, verse 23.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Now watch this.
That ye...
Whoa. The first part, the reason why we took so much time with mind renewal is that you have the responsibility that it's your job to change the way you think.
Amen.
It's your job. Now, God will help you, but you got to want to do it. And if you don't want to renew that mind, it ain't going to be renewed.
Amen.
So you have to put the work in. Read.
And that you put on the new man, which after God is created.
Now watch this.
In righteousness.
Watch this. God takes us out of the world. And through the Spirit and our desire to allow him to lead us, he starts creating a new person.
In righteousness.
He creates. He takes your mold, you, and your willingness to surrender to him, and your willingness to listen to him, and to choose him over what you used to choose. He starts to create you into something that you was not before he started to create. So much so, and over time, to where you lose you, and you become him in the flesh. Everybody with me? Because it's to be created in righteousness and true holiness. He, God, wants to create you to be like him. I said, well, that ain't gonna work. Oh, yes, it can work. God can take anybody from any place.
Any place.
And if you give yourself over to him.
Yeah.
And decide to serve him.
Yes, sir.
He can transform your life.
Amen.
Little that old song, you know, I looked at my hand and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Well, he may not change your facial structure, but he can sure change you internally. Yeah. Where you no longer look like yourself in the nature that you are. Your nature. Read.
Wherefore, putting away lying.
Now, I'm going to close with these thoughts here. Now, watch this.
Speak.
Now, once you have decided, I'm going to live this new way, okay? If you're going to make that decision, then you got to choose. Stop lying when it's convenient for you. Stop lying. When it covers you, okay? You put that out. Read.
Speak every man.
You learn how to talk to people.
Truth with his neighbor.
And be honest and upright with people.
For we are members.
Because we're part of each other's family. So we belong to each other. And do you know the thing that knits us together? It's the love that we have for one another. That love is tied to a truth that we live by. That truth is demonstrated through each of us. And as we speak truthfully to one another, we are keeping that unity together, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We're keeping it, and it's because we're being honest and open with each other. If I'm feeling nervous about you, I ought to tell you. Instead of me saying we good, and I'm talking about you.
Make it plain, son. Make it plain.
See, we ought to let us speak the truth to them. You go to them and them alone. See, all of this is part of that maturity. You put away lies, for we are members. Next verse, read.
Be ye angry.
Uh-huh.
And sin not.
Watch.
Listen.
Whoa. Once we have made the choice that we're going to serve him and live by his ways, then we learn how to control our anger. And when stuff bothers us because it's about us,
uh-huh.
And we don't want to say it's about us, we say it's about something else. No, it's about us.
Yeah.
It's about how we feel.
Yeah.
And we therefore feel that way, and therefore we give ourselves permission to be angry about it. And we do it in a way to where we become injurious of other people, where we become disrespectful to other people, where we become inconsiderate of other people. And that's when we've allowed our anger to become sinful. And we do it in the name of the Lord. I'm standing for the truth. Jesus never stood it like this and injured folk in doing it. So, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun do what?
Go down upon your wrath.
In other words, don't leave relationships up in the air knowing that they're not resolved. You ought not rest until you get back in reconciliation. Amen. It ought to bother you. Say, you know what? I got to get this right. You know, I didn't lead that right. You know, thinking the wrong way. I need to get this right. I need to get this right. All right, I got to quit. I wanted to get down to forgiving, but I don't have time right now. So let me just say this, with choices. Choices. Every child of God has a choice to live by faith. Faith, the reason why you give yourself over to doing it God's way is because you have faith in his word that his way is the best way.
Yes.
It's always a better way than my way. You know, his ways are always better than my ways.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
And when you come to trust that, then you learn how to give yourself over. And it's a process of learning how to do that.
Yes.
It starts with every little, it starts with awareness. If you're not aware of the choices that you're making, then you really don't know when you're choosing wrong.
Right.
You got to be able to see what choices you're making and how they line up with the will of God. We have choices. We're not to be conformed to the world, but we ought to be transformed. So, as we are in this process of learning, becoming aware of where we are, your assignment leaving here is to start thinking about what you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. To start paying attention to the choices that you are making. And to analyze whether or not this is a choice influenced by God, or this is a choice influenced by the world. And if you have integrity, if you're honest with yourself, you'll be able to see where you need to work. That's when you go to the Father and say, help me with my unbelief.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Help me.
Yes, sir.
Overcome my way of thinking.
Yeah.
Because I see I'm not thinking like you.
Amen.
And I need your help.
Amen.
And he is faithful. He will help you.
Yeah.
He'll give you what you need if you just ask him.
Yes, sir.
if you just acknowledge him, if you just show your love for him. So if you're here this morning and the Spirit of God has convicted you in the area of your life that you need convicting in, the convicting power of the Spirit is so powerful. I may have never mentioned you specifically, but the Spirit knows where you are, and he has a way of showing you.
Yes, he will.
In light of where you are.
Yes.
And if you're not where you should be, he will nudge you. Yes. Now, the question is, what are you going to do with the nudge? You got a choice. Like Joshua said, choose you this day whether or not you're going to allow his nudging to push you to faithfulness, or whether you're going to reject his nudge and say, I'm going to get it right later. I know I ain't right, but I'm going to get it right later. That's a choice.
Yeah.
But you're gambling with your heart because you never know when you feel this convicted again. In fact, your flesh will work hard to make sure you're never put in this situation again.
Huh.
In fact, you will make sure I ain't coming back to that church no more. Did you have a good day? Yeah, bro, I enjoyed your sermon. I ain't coming back here no more.
Well.
And that's a choice. That's your choice. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you have a choice now. Everything that God did was about bringing you into his spiritual kingdom. To you be able to live with him now and forever. And you do that through his son, Jesus Christ. And his son died a horrific death.
Yes, he did.
In order for us to have right to life now and later. Do you believe that Jesus came and died and was buried and resurrected? Do you believe that he rose on the third day? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? If you believe that, are you willing to choose to repent, change your mind about wrong, and turn to right? Are you willing to acknowledge him publicly that you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And will you surrender to baptism for the remission of your sins? Because he said, if you believe in me and you're baptized, I'll save you. If you're in the body and you're not where you need to be, you know what you should do. If you're not in the body, I pray you have the courage to become a part of the body. Make your request known by coming down front while we stand and sing. Won't you come right now? Won't you come right now?
Show me the way. Why don't you just show me the way, for I am down here, Lord, and I need your power to show. Why don't you just show me?